Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Pastor Dallas, and I personally want to thank you for purchasing or receiving this CD. It is our hope and prayer that our ministry blesses and enriches your life in such a spectacular way that you can noticeably see a change, and not just your life, but that change also has a way of impacting and affecting your entire family. We pray the Lord's blessings upon you continually, and as you listen to every word that comes through this CD message, we pray that you will see the transformation of the Lord and sense the power and anointing of the Lord as he was resonating in our fellowship. Now sit back and listen to this.
With you, if you would please turn to Acts chapter 16. We're going to start at verse 16. Through 34. On this morning, it's a familiar passage talking about when Paul and Silas were placed in prison. Acts 16 through 34. On one occasion, as we went to the place of prayer, a servant girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters profit by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." She did this for many days. But becoming greatly troubled, Paul turned to the Spirit and said, "I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her." And it came out at that moment. When her master saw that the hope of their profits was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the rulers. And they brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, greatly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans to receive or observe." The crowd rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them. After they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. Having received such an order, he threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's shackles were loosened. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." He called for lights and rushed in, trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and then led them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your household will be saved." And they spoke the word of the Lord to them and to all who were in his household. In that hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds, and immediately he and his entire household were baptized. Then he brought them up to his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced with his entire household, believing in God. Amen. So in verse 16, Paul and Silas and their companions are going about their business, and they're on their way to pray. While they're on their way, they encounter this slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination, and she's being used by her masters to fortune tell. And we know that fortune tell simply means to predict the future or give information before it happens. Not to be confused with prophecy, two different things. And the word divination means the same thing. So she's following them, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim the way of salvation." And as we see, the enemy takes a subtle opportunity when these men should be most composed to try to throw in a distraction. Yeah. Now, the word tells us that this went on for days. It doesn't tell us it went on for 3 days, 7 days, or what have you. But it's just like when you encounter a child, you know, a child keep tapping you like, look at me, look at me. We can sympathize with Paul and how he became annoyed with this going on. However, the word annoys means to become irritated. And you ever heard somebody say, you irritating my soul? I think the issue was that Paul's soul was irritated. Yeah. It wasn't that he was just bothered because she kept saying it, because after all, what she said was true. Yeah. The problem was the source in which it came from. Yeah. And in this season, sisters and brothers, you got to check your sources. Even when you write a paper, you know how you, at the end of the paper, you got to cite your source, because they want to know that you got it from a credible source. Yeah. Don't just let any old body come telling you anything, because yes, it may be true, but the source can be corrupted. It can be profane. And it, just like Paul, it should irritate your soul. Ask them, where did you get that from? Check the source, sisters and brothers. This is why Paul was troubled. It was a disturbance to him to hear the truth, something so sacred, be profaned by this girl, and they looked at her as a source of the truth. Paul commanded the spirit in the name of Jesus to come out of her, and command is to give an authoritative order. It means a strategic position from a superior height, or to be in charge. And that same command God has given us as well. So at this point, people are taking notice of Paul and Silas because of the spirit that was in this girl. But this was the catalyst for them to be noticed. So how is it that this testimony comes from the mouth of one with the spirit of divination? We can look at Mark 1, 22 through 28. And this is when Jesus cast out the unclean spirit. Even the enemy recognizes that God is the Holy One. In verse 24, when the Lord was in the temple, it says, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Even the enemy has to submit to God. You have nothing to fear in this case. So just as this demon recognized Jesus as the Holy One in Mark 24, so this demon recognized the divine power upon Paul and his companions. And Paul was able to accomplish this through the power and authority given to him through Christ Jesus. And now he has shown that indeed he is a servant of the living God. And we know that power goes along with the word of God, and there is power in the name of Jesus. And the enemy had no choice but to forsake his hold on the girl. So in verse 19, we see that the masters realize that their hope of making a profit off of this young lady is gone. And this is where they seize Paul and Silas, and they drag them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they were brought to the magistrates. And as they were brought to them, the marketplace served as a place of justice. The charge against them was that they troubled the city. So the citizens looked at them as a public nuisance, basically. But if they did cause trouble in the city, it was no more than what the angels did with the pool of Bethesda by troubling the waters. They were especially criticized because they were Jews. Now understand Roman culture. You know the saying, when in Rome, do as the Romans do? They were really strict about what their beliefs were, because their beliefs were passed down to them. And we know this is where Greek mythology comes in, and the spirit of divination came through Apollo, where he was allegedly slayed a mystical serpent and took those powers. That's where that comes from. Now that they're being criticized, the crowd joins in and increase objections against Paul and Silas. So now their clothes are torn from them and they are beat. It was Roman custom was under the compassionate limitation of the number of stripes, not to exceed 40, which was provided by Jewish law. Some translation of the word says that they were severely flogged or beaten. Roman culture used lictors to carry out the punishment, and those were officers who carried a bundle of rods and an axe symbolizing the power to inflict capital punishment. One would think that after they've been beaten, that they that should have been enough and they should be discharged, but it wasn't. No, instead they were taken to prison and they were treated like they were vile villains at this point. In verse 23 and 24, here we see the jailer has been commanded to keep them securely. So he placed them in the inner cell and their feet in stocks. They were treated and condemned like lawbreakers. After all, they had done nothing to deserve the pain that was inflicted upon them. Verse 25 tells us, though, that at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening. They were in prison. They had been dragged, severely beaten, and their feet placed in stocks. And if you get the opportunity, you can look up what stocks are. It's when they place their feet into a wooden base and it's secured to the floor to keep them from moving. We don't know the pain that they endured. I'm sure they had wounds after being beaten like that, was sore, you don't have any water, you haven't received food, anything like that. But yet, these men are in stocks still praying and still singing hymns to God. And I would dare to think that while they're singing and while they're praying, that they're even praying for their persecutors, that they're praying for the jailers that are around them. Understand that when they were thrown into prison, that they were placed in the innermost part of the jail, which was considered the dungeon. However, by placing, what the enemy didn't understand, by placing them in the innermost part of the cell, you literally put them in the center, and God caused them to be the center of attention. Imagine now that even in jail, while they're here singing and praying unto God, that there's still conversations, I'm sure, that are taking place among them. But you had to commanded their attention by them praying and worshiping to God. So now that the jailers have taken notice to hear what Paul and Silas are saying, we don't know what took effect and what effect that had on the other jailers. Like, what are they doing? How is it that these men have been beat and flogged and are placed in stocks, but yet you still have your mind set on God? You still are praying. You're not complaining about what's going on. You're not complaining about the pain that you've endured, how you've been treated or anything like that, but yet you turn around and you pray for those that have wrongfully accused you. This wasn't about them. They had their eyes on the work of the master. Yes. They didn't have an idea of what could happen to them next. After all, the lictors carried axes. They didn't know whether they were going to receive the axe next. Instead, they continued to pray for them. And I'm pretty sure they prayed for their hearts to be turned and that they would do this for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And imagine even the affliction that they felt. What about when we are afflicted? We are to take a note from them and not worry about what it is that people have to say about us, how they've treated us, but still be about our Father's business. Never mind you, they were in a dungeon. They weren't in church. They weren't in a house of prayer, but they were literally being the church in the dungeon. Even in our affliction, we should never lack the ability to pray and to worship. Even after we've been beaten, whether it be by society, on our job, or otherwise, we still are to remain in a position of prayer. Yes. Now that the prisoners have begun to listen to them, I imagine that this was the most sacred concert ever held in any part of Europe. Verse 26 says, suddenly, there was a great earthquake. Suddenly means unexpectedly, it means instantly, and it means quickly. You want to talk about singing unto God and literally bringing down the house? These men sung unto God so much so that it shook the very foundations of the prison. And not only that, that their stocks were released and that the doors came open, but it said that all of the chains, and it said all of the doors. Could you imagine that if you got your mind right, that if you were praying and worship those individuals that are attached to you, that their chains become loose, that they become free from sin, that they become delivered in the name of Jesus? All you got to do is set your mind on God and be about your Father's business. This thing isn't just about you. And even if you do feel like I'm in stocks and I've been chained to this situation, baby, understand something. That situation that you're going through just ain't about you. It's about the individuals that you're attached to. This isn't punishment, but it's preparation. See, you can't have the same mindset here, but you want God to take you over there. No, I need you to get it right here, because I do want to elevate you. And yes, I do want to move you. And yes, you may feel like you're by yourself, but I'm there with you. I've never left you by yourself. I'm in the middle of that thing. And just when people think that they forgot about you, and you may feel like you're forgotten about, I'll cause you to be the center of attention. I'll place a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Yes, I'll take care of you. Yes, I'll take care of your household too. There's nothing too hard for God, and you should trust him. We don't know what the people that were in jail were there for. But all we know is that the prisoners took notice and that they were listening. Take note. You don't know who's listening to you. You don't know who's watching you. And it is of the utmost importance that you be careful about what you're saying in this season and how you present yourself. You have things that are attached to you that you don't even see. Sister and brother, somebody's waiting on you to cry out to God with a loud voice. It was amazing. I had to attend a concert on Friday with my daughter, and I'm just like, man, I told her, I said, you better be this loud in church on Sunday. Because they will do it. And it's the same initiative that we have to take when we come into the presence of God, to cry out with a loud voice, sisters and brothers. The Roman jailer understood that if he would have allowed the prisoners to escape, that he faced certain death. So he drew his sword and prepares to kill himself. But Paul calls out to him, do not harm yourself, for we are all here. And then the jailer calls for light. Light can be a source of illumination. Light can produce a visual sensation. Light is the quality of being luminous, emitting or reflecting light. Light can be an illuminated area. Light is any device serving as a source of illumination. And here it is, even though the jailer called for light, figuratively, he literally needed light. We are to be light. The Lord called us to be light, as he did in Matthew chapter 5, telling you that you are the light of the world. And a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Here it is that Paul and Silas have acted as a source of light. And when they acted as a source of light, it produced a visual sensation, because all of the chains were open and the gates were as well. They emitted the light of Jesus Christ himself, lighting the light of the world. They lit the light for the jailer as well as those that were around him. Who else better than Paul to convince the jailer not to harm himself? After all, if you go back and read about who Paul was before, he persecuted innocent individuals as well and threw them into prison. See how the Lord used his life to change in the same way that he can use us as well. Yeah. In this instance, I'm sorry, they were being found being luminous by emitting and reflecting the light of the world, which is Jesus Christ. The light caused the jailer to step into the light, literally. Someone is waiting on you, sisters and brothers, to turn on your light. They're waiting for you to come out of darkness and turn on the light. Our nation is in shambles, and they're waiting for us to turn on the light. We have so many people that are around us. Any two times that you have a society where children are committing suicide as young as 6 and 8 years old, they need somebody to turn on the light. There was the slogan that it was at Hotel or Motel 6, we'll leave the light on for you, but we'll do the same thing for you. They need you to come out of darkness and step into the light. Stop hiding behind things and step into the light. You have no reason to fear. You have no reason to be afraid. Sisters and brothers, turn on the light. Yes. It is in times of darkness that our light should shine the brightest. Just like when Paul and Silas were in jail, in the dark, they still had their lights on. And we should do the same thing. We see what's happening over in Ukraine. We see what's happening in our economy. Sisters and brothers, turn on your lights. I'm sure that word passed really quickly of what had happened to Paul and to Silas, causing everyone to know what happened. This caused the jailer to recognize the seriousness of the situation, and he asked, "What must I do to be saved?" First, his salvation becomes a great concern. I'm sure that prior to now, it probably was the furthest thing from his mind. Now it's the nearest thing to his heart. Secondly, he did not ask what they must do to be saved, but he was concerned about himself. Third, he was thoroughly convinced he has to do something too to bring about his salvation. He didn't ask what could be done for him. Fourthly, he is willing to do anything. At this point, he's at a point of desperation. He didn't know which way to go. He asked the people who were likely to tell him. We don't know which way to take alone. This is why we have ministers and pastors, and this is why we have to make sure we hear. Right here. And it's the Holy Spirit that guides us and brings us to salvation. And even though that the jailer brought them out of the dungeon, it was in hopes that they could bring him out of a much worse situation. And keep in mind that Paul and Silas were still wounded. They were still sore. And more than likely, they were still in pain. But look how they responded to their suffering. They were still leading people from out of the dark and into the light. He told them to believe on Jesus and you will be saved. And not only was the jailer saved, but his household too, and they baptized them as well. We have such an important assignment in this season, and it is of the utmost importance that you are here to receive the directions for what's to come next. It's real easy to get comfortable and you like watching it from home and all that good stuff, but I need you to understand what's taking place in this season. There are going to be specific instructions that are gonna come down. Technology real cool when it work right. Could you imagine you praying for something and you want the Lord to give you direction and give you your plan and you not here because you at home waiting for it to come on Facebook? It's not a rhetorical question. I need you to understand what's taking place. As I stated before, this isn't punishment to you, but it's preparation for what's to come. There are things that God is calling us to do, and you want him to move you from here and take you over there, but he's trying to get you together here. You're not left without options. You have pastors, you have ministers, you have teachers, you have gifts, and there are plans in there he wants to use you therein, but you gotta get it here. You ever wonder why you going through something and you look back like, I thought I was over this? Remember when Pastor Rye preached a long time ago about the tree being chopped down, but the root's still there? He's trying to get to the root of your issue, but you need to be here in order for that to be done and eradicated. Yeah, I'm talking to you, sitting at home chilling. Yes, we talking to you. You got to come here in order to get that directive. What happens when you miss your assignment? And don't get upset. When he uses the one who was willing, and they're younger than you, and so now you got an attitude and a chip on your shoulder, but the problem really ain't with them. The problem you should have an attitude with is your own self, because you didn't bring yourself in here. That's all I'm saying. If you're going to be, don't be mad at the messenger, be mad at your own self, because he wanted to use a willing vessel because you didn't want to. I'll do it next week, or I'll do it tomorrow. You're not even promised 24 hours in a day. You don't even know if you're going to make it to the end of the day. What you talking about? He is loosening the chains. He is making preparation for things to come. But when you miss the ship, don't get upset. Be mad at yourself. He is trying to get to the root of some of our problems and our issues so that you can be used. Yes, he understands that everything that we've gone through is a testimony. Yes, he called you to be sought. Yes, he called you to be light. But he needs you to get it together. Yeah. You doing the same thing the girl did. You professing God, but it's tainted. Who are you mad at? Me or you? This is the opportunity for us to get it together, sisters and brothers right here. We're not going to be in this season long. He's moving. And you either can get it together or get left. He's giving you direction, and you need to be like the fisherman. Stop what you're doing and go. Stop making excuses, playing around like, Lord, I can't hear you. I don't know. Okay, did you say go now, or you want me to go tomorrow? Play with somebody else. We've been doing this a long time. There are babes in Christ that need us. There are people who have literally given their life to Christ, and that's it. They don't know that they need to live and walk this thing out. We got other stuff to do, and we not about to keep patty caking with you. We have things to do, and we got to move. And we're moving into a suddenly season. All of a sudden, when things are shaking and moving, things that you thought that you couldn't get out of, all of a sudden, I don't do that thing no more. That's what we're doing in this season, and we're standing in expectation. And yes, we're praying and believing God to shake the foundations of the enemy and to free our brothers and our sisters, those that are believing in deities and idol gods, and we're looking for God to move. And we got work to do, but we can't stay here long, people. And it's of the utmost importance that you are in your word and that you're pressing into God. And you're not just fasting when our pastors call for it, but when you hear the Holy Spirit tell you, cut that off. Ask yourself, where am I getting my influence from? Who am I listening to? What am I setting my eyes on? One thing I check my child about all the time, what you listening to? Turn it off. We have to take that same initiative, sisters and brothers. He's speaking. Don't drown his voice out. If it means that you got to turn off the TV for a minute and push your plate back, you'll do what you have to do. But in this season, he's speaking and he's moving. And our specific instructions are coming. Don't miss it because you want to sleep in. Don't miss it because you want to attend an event. Don't miss your instructions. Each and every one of us have a place here. You have something to do, and you have something to do. And we work together like a well-oiled machine. I'm done. But we've been praying too long and trusting and believing God to bring people out of darkness and the things that have them trapped. They need to know that they have options and that they can be delivered and brought out from those things that they don't have hope for. It is your responsibility to provide that hope for them. The same thing that God brought you. You know that stuff that you don't want to tell nobody about, but only you and God know? Yeah, that thing. That thing. They need us. Now answer, I have a question for you. If you would answer the call, I'll let you marinate on that. It's not up for me to have an answer for it. That's between you and God. But I'm done. You can stand to your feet.
Oh, come on, y'all can clap better than that for that word. Don't you love when the word finds you? Pastor LaShawn and I were sitting over there, and she leaned over and she said she had to preach that. That had to come through her. That was a divine assignment. I'm going to tell you how divine it was. I mentioned to Sharon when she was here. We talked about her work schedule. And I asked her, tell me the next time you come in because I need you to preach. She texted me this week. When you understand your assignment, you won't willfully forget stuff. Let me help you. We remember what we want to. And in this season, some of y'all stand at home because you want to. And I'm going to tell you, rebellion is working in your heart. Don't turn me off now. Don't change channels now. What's working down on the inside of you is being found out. And God is dealing with that stubbornness and that rebellion. And watch this. Your heart has hardened for the things of God because you're still doing any and everything else that you're big enough and bad. Let me tell you how this world operates. You forget that social media is social. So we see you at the airport going on vacations and trips, but you're talking about your uncomfortability to come into the house of God. The devil is a lie. Don't change sides now. We've come through, things are changing, and we've come through this pandemic, not for us to practice Christianity on a bed of ease, but this is time to recognize the changes. I told you guys in the beginning, I refuse to call what was at the beginning of the pandemic the new normal because that wasn't the way that it was going to remain. Now the CDC is saying you don't have to wear a mask inside if you don't want to because things are changing. And you know what? People and the church is going to change with the CDC faster than they will their BIBLE. Be thou corrected. Be thou rebuked. Be thou reproved. Be thou found out. But watch this. Be thou changed. And I believe this word of the Lord today came to challenge us to change. This was an excellent word. So much of what she said and so much of what was going on in the service before the word, it lines right up. This is time for us to make that transition and enter back into the house of the Lord. I'm telling you, what we're experiencing is called the return. And there is going to be a remnant that's going to return. Don't get caught outside having your lamps with no oil. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. The Lord is causing there to be a separation between the wise and the foolish virgins. Don't be caught out there trying to buy oil when you're supposed to be in the house because the bridegroom has come. My God, today, Father, help me be in the place where I'm supposed to be. Help my mind to be the way that it's supposed to be. Help me to think the way that I'm supposed to think. Right? Deliver me from my foolish thinking.
In the name of Jesus, in the middle of my affliction, give me a song in the midnight. Hallelujah. So that others can be set free. Hallelujah. My situation can be worse than somebody else's, but don't let it stop my praise. Father, I thank you. Sharon, I need you to come pray. Hallelujah. I need you to come and release this word that the Lord has given unto you. I need you to release this word. And you know what? We need to amen this in our lives. Oh, Jesus. I need to do something for those of you at home. Tomorrow, can you just pan around? Can you guys pan around? I remember the day when it was praise and worship leaguers, singers, and us. And then we started coming. I want you to look around. The return is happening. We're not doing this to boast or broadcast. It's a whole bunch of empty seats, and one of them is, it has your name on it. It has your name on it. Tell somebody, I'm glad to see you. I'm glad to see you in the house. I'm glad to see you. I'm glad to see you. I'm glad to see you, brother. I'm glad to see you, sister. I'm glad to see you in the house. We are experiencing the return because God has specific instructions. God has something to say. But you have to be here in order to receive it. I need Sharon to come in 1 second, but I haven't gone back to the gym since last year. And I feel it. I'm not as strong. I'm not sleeping as well. I'm not digesting my food. I don't have as much energy as I was before I was getting up and going to the gym. Right? I can't watch somebody work out and then I get healthy. I've got to go to the gym, and then I can't just stand there and smell the gym aroma. But I've got to get on the machine and I've got to work, and watch this. And then I can't work the machine the way I think it should be worked. I have to work the machine the way that it's intended. And then I have to have my body positioned in the right position in order for it to have the best effect. I've got to fully engage. What are we saying? True gospel is time for us to fully re-engage. And as we pan around, there's a seat with your name on it. Elders, ministers, I'm talking to you too, because you ain't came back either. Deacons, deaconesses, I'm talking to you too, because you haven't come back either. Greeters and ushers, I'm talking to you too, because you haven't come back either. Nurses, I'm talking to you, you ain't came back either. I'm talking to everybody. Just say that, he's talking to everybody. We all need this word. Will find you. The word will find you if you put yourself in a position when the light comes on that you say, what must I do? Come on, Sister Sharon. The Lord is talking to us this morning. Come on.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we say thank you on this morning, oh God. We thank you for your word, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for purpose on today, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the plans that you have for our life, oh God. We thank you, God, for the instruction, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for our very lives on this morning, oh God. And on today, oh God, we yield to you. Father, we ask, what must we do to be saved? Father, we trust in you on today, God. We know, oh God, that you have our best interest at heart. Father, you've never let us down before, oh God. And so today on this morning, oh God, we release everything, oh God, that easily besets us. We release to you, oh God, those habits that we have formed, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We release laziness. laziness and slothfulness in the name of Jesus. Father, search our hearts on this morning, oh God. Dig deep into the crevices of our hearts, oh God. Wash and purify us on today, oh God. Rejuvenate us on today, oh God. Revitalize us on today, oh God. Let revival take place in our lives, in our homes, God, in the name of Jesus. Transform our minds, oh God. Transform our thoughts and the way that we think, oh God. Even the way that we process, oh God, our thoughts. Father, change our vision, oh God. Help us to see each other the way that you see us in the name of Jesus. Touch our mouths on today, oh God. We even desire for our conversations to be holy, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for causing us to be center stage, oh God. But you get the glory out of all that we do, all that we say, oh God. We release to you, God, our lives, oh God. We release our hands back to you, oh God. Use them as you see fit, oh God. Our feet, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We want to be found, oh God, being about our Father's business, being a light unto the world, in the name of Jesus. We turn on our light, oh God. Prick our hearts, oh God, even as we go throughout the week, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Give us somebody that we can share our light with, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Fill us up all over again, oh God. Fill us up, oh God, with your anointing, with your power, oh God, with your authority, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We desire to be used by you, oh God. We thank you that we're fit for your purpose, oh God. We thank you that we are in your hands. We know, oh God, that you are the potter and we are the clay, oh God. Cut away those things that don't bring you glory, oh God. Make and mold us into who you desire us to be during this season, in the name of Jesus. We don't want to be a stumbling block to anybody, oh God. Release the stocks from the feet of those, oh God, who are bound. Release the chains, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Release, oh God, your power in our lives. Release your anointing in the land, in the name of Jesus. Even in the foreign countries, oh God, we thank you now, oh God, that you're God Almighty and that there's nothing too hard for you, oh God. Search our homes even on today, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We even lift up our children to you, oh God. We thank you for purpose in their lives, oh God. Use them at an early age, oh God. We lift up this nation to you on today. Father, give us to be found, oh God, praying, oh God, and worshiping, oh God. Your word tells us that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but we thank you that you deliver us out of them all, oh God. Thank you for transformation taking place in our lives, oh God. We thank you, God, for the plans that you have for us, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for how you're going to use us in this season, oh God. And we yield to you in the name of Jesus. We even thank you for waking us up in the midnight hour. We'll be found at midnight singing hymns and praises to you, oh God. Waiting for the chains to fall off, oh God, of those that are trapped, oh God. Those that don't see a way out in the name of Jesus. Those that are battling things in those secret places, oh God. We thank you for snatching off the covers. We thank you for snatching the lives away from the enemy, oh God. We all belong to you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it now, oh God. And we'll give you the praise. We'll be so careful to give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank the Lord for that word. Thank the Lord for Minister Sharon. Oh my God, this awesome word. Listen, we don't want to take this time for granted. If you don't know the Lord and the pardon of your sins, we want to introduce you to our Father, our King, our Lord, our everything. You can be at home sitting at your table and you can be thinking over your life and you can think about how you've went left and how you've missed it on many occasions. How many of you know that we've all missed it on many occasions? But we want to set this time aside to offer you the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who was there before the foundations of the world. He knew you before your mom knew you. And if you don't know Jesus, let us introduce you to him. Wherever you are, let us introduce you to our King. Listen, Repeat after me. Father, I thank you that you have set this time apart just for me. I believe that if it had just been me, you would have died on the cross of Calvary for me and for my sins. And so today I acknowledge where I am. I'm not in right fellowship with you. But you know, God, I believe that you died on the cross of Calvary for my sins and that you rose on the third day. And because you did this for me, Lord, I take this opportunity to confess you as my Lord and Savior. As a matter of fact, God, I give you my heart. I give you my mind. Because of this word, I want there to be an adjustment in how I view things and how I do things. I want to be in fellowship with you. And so now, God, I give myself to you wholeheartedly, unreservedly. I give myself to you. I lay myself down on the altar and I say, have your way. And I thank you for coming into my life forevermore. Let every heart say, and if that was you, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with us, listen, we want to know about it. Text us. Reach out to us on social media. Whatever it takes. Listen, come on home. You may not even have a church home. We want to invite you to be a part of TGT. We don't want you to be out there alone, but we want to cultivate what God is doing in you, in your life. And even if you re-prayed that prayer, you know, when I got saved, sometimes I would rehearse that prayer every time they did it because I wanted to make sure that I was going to be in the land of the living. Amen. And so maybe you repeated that prayer again. Come on back home. No judgment. Just come on in, take a seat, and we'll be ready to receive you. Amen. Let's praise the Lord for Minister Sharon again. My God. That was such an on-time word. How many of you found yourself? And I thank the Lord. I just want to leave my light on. Amen. I want to leave my light on. We're going to get ready to go. I'm going to ask if our pastor would come. Amen.
Amen. We thank God again for each and every one of you. Amen. Let's not forget Bible study on Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Amen. We're having a wonderful lesson. This is a wonderful time in our study. And we're talking about our gifts. Amen. Using and utilizing them. And there are many people who have teaching assignments. We're on our teaching rotation. Amen. And your name may be called. Your shoulder may be tapped on. Amen. You never know who's coming next. Amen. We want to make sure we avail ourselves. Tuesday at 7 o'clock on Zoom, you can go into our announcements page on Facebook and you can find out how to have accessibility there. Amen. And then let's not forget to give. Amen. Amen. We continue to need. We continue to have needs and we need all of our members and all of our friends to be financially faithful with your tithing and your offerings. Amen. There are specific needs that we continue to have in the ministry, and we're thanking you. We thank those who have already sowed those seeds. Amen. We thank you for your gifts and all those that will continue to sow. Amen. We thank God for you. Our ways to give are on the screen. Amen. And we thank God. We give God praise for you and your generous giving today. Amen. Amen. Let's all join hands with somebody and we're getting ready to go. Yes. Amen. We don't want to forget. Thank you, Sister Lauren. Amen. You're going to continue to see more announcements come across, I believe. Check your emails. Amen. You should have received an email from the church. There will be text blasts that will come across also. Amen. On March 7th, it's Monday, March 7th, right here at the church, we're going to have a time of prayer. We're just going to lay out before the Lord. Amen. We are not going to have this being streamed through any streaming device. You have to be in the house. Amen. There are specific instructions. Amen. I thank God for those who labor before the Lord and who are also hearing him. Amen. I received a call this week from Brother Demetrius, who was spending time in prayer. And when he texted me and asked me to call him, I said, he has a word from the Lord. I just sensed in my heart that he has a word of instruction. Amen. And he was reading in the book of Isaiah, and we're talking about King Hezekiah. And the chapter before where he talked about he turned his face to the wall. When there was a threat of war, the kings would send out a champion. And the champion would come and talk about what their intentions were. But in this particular case, a letter was sent. And upon receipt of the letter, Hezekiah took it into the house of the Lord and laid the words on the altar. And the word of the Lord came and said, whatever your issues are, whatever issue, whatever you've been praying about, whatever answer you need from the Lord, we're going to take those, we're going to write them down, and we're going to lay them on the altar. And how many of you know that God still hears and he still answers prayer? Amen. This is one of those things that we do. The Bible says that he takes those foolish things to confound the wise. Amen. So taking a letter and laying it on the altar will give us a breakthrough. And I'm believing God that we are going to see deliverance and breakthrough through this time of prayer that has been set aside. Just this is in preparation. Come on, amen, of what God is getting ready to do. Amen. He has been speaking to you all this time. God is getting ready to give us key instructions on what our next steps should be. The church is going to look fundamentally different than what it was before. Amen. And we want to be in the know. God, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Amen. Father, we thank you for all that we have heard, all that we have seen and experienced today. Father, we pray for your people that as we will prepare to leave from this place, that help us to know that we're never leaving from your presence. Now, Father, as this word has gone forth in truth, in balance, in power, in clarity, and understanding, let us receive it into our hearts and into our minds that we might say, Father, what do I need to do? Not just to be saved, but what do I need to do to move into position that I might be used by you? Now, Father, I ask that you would minister to your servant the same way that she poured out this morning. We ask, God, that you would in turn pour back into her in the name of Jesus. And Father, take us from this place to our various destinations. Help us to arrive there safely, free from incidents and accidents. And we'll always be careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So glad to see you all. God bless you. Amen. You be safe.
Thank you for listening to TGT Speaks, our multimedia voice emanating from the True Gospel Tabernacle Church of Detroit. You can subscribe to us at TGT Podcast on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Spotify. If you like TGT Podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give us a review. And also, if you would like to donate to our ministry, you can visit our website at www.tgtchurch.org and give your tax-deductible donation through PayPal. We really appreciate the generous and tangible love gift of any monetary denomination from our friends and partners. And we commit that your love gift enables us to continue furthering the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your support, and we'll see you next week.